When it comes to looking at matters of taste, it's so easy to see a complex network of objects and processes. There are neurotransmitters and olfactory sensations, there's saliva and the food that invites even more of it. But rarely do we peer through those complex processes to see the objects that mediate it all. It's unfortunate, really, to ignore them. They are, after all, what helps to make everything happen. So let's change that. Let's right an injustice. Today, let's spend some time with the taste bud. The assault against taste buds began in 1901, when scientists first decided to map taste on the tongue.
Don't box me in, bro.
Their hypothesis was that the tongue could be divided into separate sections devoted to the four tastes, later including that fifth taste, umami. The truth of the matter is that our coalition of taste receptors just isn't all that organized. Not only are they scattered all across the tongue, but it's often the case that foods trigger multiple receptors just with varying intensities. Their reaction to certain chemicals in foods accounts then for our being able to decipher between sweet, salty, sour, bitter, and umami. As complex as taste buds are in themselves, from their cellular compositions and their unique propensities for certain chemical reactions, they might be known best, made most strange, with an eye toward their object relations. I know, it seems like we might begin to ignore them again, to focus on their place in a web of other objects and processes, and, well, that is partly true. It seems that they must be known in light of these relations. But our investigation is still quite distinct. The difference is that we're interested in the role taste buds play in enacting taste. We're considering them as rhetorical powerhouses, the starting point of a process set in motion by their efficaciousness. So, to get to know them better, let's spend some time with taste buds across varying situations. The first we can actually reproduce now. Let's travel to England for a moment, where Chef Heston Blumenthal is revolutionizing taste experience. At the Fat Duck, his Michelin-starred restaurant, Blumenthal presents his diners with what he calls sonic-enhanced eating. And yes, it's just what it sounds like. The restaurant creates soundscapes for their diners in an effort to enhance the taste of their dishes. The Sound of the Sea, for instance, is a dish comprised of a plate of fish with tapioca standing in for sand. It's served with a side of audio, in the form of a seashell containing an iPod playing sounds of the shore. Now, experts are interested in this kind of pairing between taste and sound because it's one that's so often overlooked. In fact, it seems not unlike the often overlooked cellular sophistication of the taste bud. It's not that we're noting the taste bud as just one object among many in a process of taste, but as a dynamic object intricately intertwined with and effectual for all the others involved. Noting how sound affects taste is but one way to call attention to the generative action of the taste bud. For in its interaction with all the elements influencing taste, the taste bud does important work in a way specific to the situation in which it finds itself. In the case of the Sound of the Sea dish, sound gives the diner an associative setting. It directs their consciousness to a particular situation by way of a recognizable ambience. In this case, it's the sound of the seashore. Doing so can be linked to enhancing the salty, briny notes of the seafood dish for the diner's experience of taste. And the taste bud's object relations don't end at sound. Were I on more than a graduate student stipend, I would have invested in what many are called miracle fruit. With them, I could have thrown for us a flavor-tripping party. I know, right? Guests at these parties eat a single berry upon arriving, and for the next short while at the party, all sour tastes become sweet to the tongue. The berry does this by interfering with the work of the taste bud. It hijacks taste receptors and generates new effects accordingly. In much the same way that Chef Blumenthal's soundscapes interfere in the chemical processes of the taste bud at the level of communication with other elements of the taste experience, the miracle fruit interferes at the level of the chemical reaction. Russell Jones is part of a sonic branding company that works closely with investigations into the effects of sound on taste. He explains that no one is quite sure what's happening in the brain, but that something certainly is. He sees potential in reducing sugar in foods, but adding music as a healthy alternative. And the miracle fruit, similarly, receives attention as an aid in the diets of diabetics. And at the center of it all, it seems, is the rhetorical capacity of that tiny taste bud. It is their ability to respond to specific situation that makes them a most effective object. Now, remember our trip to England? Let's imagine that on our return flight, we're feeling a bit peckish. Yes, even after our meal at the Fat Duck. You're thinking of ordering off the in-flight menu. You're likely holding an insult in your back pocket, ready to regale your seatmate with a rant about the deplorable state of airline food. But let's keep in mind that the blasé food might not be anyone's fault. Well, not unless you count the taste bud, that is. You see, at certain elevations, we lose 20 to 30% of our taste due to the fact that several of our 10,000 taste buds go numb. The increased cabin pressure is to blame for this. Here again, we see the taste bud as an object so closely tied to its object relations that it both animates and becomes animated by overlapping objects and processes. Perhaps this is why peering through those processes proves so difficult, and why not many people have done it before. The circulation, transformation, and consequentiality of the taste bud seems wrapped up not only in singular, varying situations, but also pressed into one moment in time. It's probably fitting, really, for the life of an average taste bud is a mere 10 days. If nothing else, maybe recognizing just how central they are, on their own, to a whole host of processes will encourage us to appreciate each taste bud while we have it. Their time is short, and if you've ever burnt your tongue, sending many of yours to an early demise, you know that their parting is certainly no sweet sorrow.